And we're coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, just outside of Chesterfield, Missouri. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live, and I have spent all morning working on something that I thought I was done with. I thought I was done with this, and when I woke up this morning, I thought, you know, I'm going to talk about this and this and this and this and this. And I came into the office this morning, and God changed my mind. I have a very, very heavy heart today. I have a lot of splaining to do. I have a lot of things to say, and I want you to just kind of visit with me today while I visit with you. I am going to speak as accurately as I possibly can. I'm going to use quotations. I'm going to use video clips. I'm going to use scripture. And I actually have a 10-page article that I'm going to go over with you today. It started out with after we released part one of the Sacred Name or Witchcraft video. I received a couple of emails. One was not an email. It was a Facebook message from somebody who was questioning something I said. Now, I think if you're going to be a minister or a pastor or a teacher of some kind, and I think if you're going to have a ministry that reaches out to people, it should never be above questioning. I went through this with the Rob Skiba situation. When I had shared information that I did not confirm prior to sharing the information, I did not confirm whether or not it was true or not. I was using a third hand or a third person conversation and putting it out there, which I apologize for. That apology was legitimate. I'm now being accused of saying it's being said that my apology was not legitimate. If you will go back and watch that particular episode of the Pastor Mike Online live broadcast, you will see that I apologize sincerely for passing on the information about Rob Skiba that I did not verify toward the end of that. However, I made it very plain and I made it very clear that concerning the issue of the King James Bible, the inerrancy of the scriptures and things like that, things that were on his website, and still are, that I was going to deal with that. And I have dealt with that, and I'm going to continue to deal with that. Just because I was wrong in one facet of what I did, and I was wrong. I did not hold to my own standard. Just because I was wrong, that doesn't disqualify me from telling the truth. I've been wrong before. And I guess one of the marks scripturally of a godly man is that he will, a just man falleth seven times, the Bible says. That means he gets back up seven times. I believe in repentance. I believe if you're wrong, you ought to say you're wrong. You ought to man up to it. And I think that applies to me and it applies to everybody else. In this particular Watchman broadcast, the Sacred Name or Witchcraft, I named some names. Skiba, of course, was one of those names. Now, obviously, he's not happy with what I said about him in that video. But what I did was I quoted from his website. That's what I did, and it's still there. If you want to go check it out, it's still there. And I'm doing the exact same thing today. Let me read to you an email. What I wanted to do. When I came into the office this morning, I can't remember if it was Brian or Gary, had told me that Pastor Jim Staley, who runs, what's the name of that ministry? Passion for Truth Ministry. And he is a neighbor of ours. And I say that he lives in the General St. Louis area, somewhere around Chesterfield, something like that. We are directly south of St. Louis, about 30 miles. Chesterfield is north and west of St. Louis, about 40, 34, 45 miles, something like that. And we could meet each other for lunch if we had to. I don't plan on it, but we could. when I came in this morning, Staley had left a message on our church answering machine, and I listened to it. I was going to get a recording of it, and it was inadvertently erased. And so I'm not going to make any big claims about what Staley said on this particular, when he called. I'm not going to make any claims, well, he said this and he said that. That way, if somebody says, if he says, well, I never said that, I can't prove it, and it just looks bad. So again, I'm not going to deal with something that I cannot prove. I'm going to deal with something that I can prove. But I will tell you this, and if he wants to deny saying this, then go, so be it. But the purpose of his call, obviously, was the fact that I included his name in the Sacred Name or Witchcraft video. I not only mentioned it in this week's video, I mentioned it again in next week's video. He's in there again. And there's a reason why I used his name. And I'm going to show you why I did. But he called the office this morning, and or sometime, I don't know, must have been last night or early this morning, I don't know. But he called the office, and needless to say, he was not happy with what I said. He didn't sound angry. He was not breathing out threats and murders. He was not doing anything like that. I'm trying to remember as best as I can what he said, but it was in the general area of, I don't believe most of what you said about me, something to that nature. And he did take issue with, his statement was that he didn't like the fact that I referred to him as an agent of Satan or something like that, an agent of the devil. And his statement to me was that he did not believe in the sacred name doctrine, that he did not hold to that. That's not his belief. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to deal with this. I got an email from somebody who is saying the same thing. Now, this I will read word for word. And I won't give the name of the person. He does not, I do not have permission to use his name, but I am going to use his email. Pastor Mike, I listened to your sermon on sacred names / Jim Staley, and I have to say that in dozens of teachings I have listened to, he has never said using the name of Jesus will send you to hell. I don't think that I said that he said that. I don't think I said that he said that. Number two, he has never said there is anything wrong with using the name of Jesus at all. Now, to the guy writing me this email, And I responded back to him today telling him that I would be dealing with this issue on today's broadcast. The statement to me was by the email writer, he has never said there is anything wrong with using the name Jesus at all. I take issue with that, and I'm going to show you. Not sure why you included him in your sermon, but let's move on. We have listened to your teachings as well for over a year and have always enjoyed some of your deep teachings, and I want to thank you for your service. I do have one question that perhaps you or a staff member would be kind enough to explain. Well, don't get Gary involved in this, because I guarantee you, he's going to let you have it. I'm going to be Mr. Nice Guy here. Here is what is said in this email of the guy who's questioning me using Jim Staley's name. He says, the King James Bible was translated by pagan Catholic priests. Now, I'm wondering, if you're the one who wrote the email, I'm wondering, where did you hear this from? Where did you get this piece of information? What is the basis of this? Is this something you came up with on your own? Did you watch a YouTube video? Did you see it on a blog? Were you there? Is somebody teaching this at a church? Does Staley teach this? I've never heard Staley teach this, but does he teach this? Why would this be the only version of the Bible that we should follow? Also, what did believers follow from the time of Christ until 1600 AD approximately? What about the 8 to 10 books the Catholics removed from the King James in the late 1800s? That right there is, I don't know where he gets that from. He said, I'm not as much arguing, but looking for insight as to how pagan, and he wrote in all capital letters, pagan Catholics could have translated what you hold as the only possible Bible we should read. Why would you trust Catholics who are holding on the fast track to hell in the translation over born-again, spirit-filled believers, hoping to give the world an accurate translation of the Word of God from the original text? And I would assume now that he means Staley and others who are in the Hebrew Roots movement. If I say Staley Hebrew Roots, that is accurate. That is on his website. He does not deny that. And so that said, I do read the King James Bible and value it highly. I also have never heard any heretical teachings from Jim Staley and was very disappointed to hear you bash him so openly. Of course, maybe there's other information that you are privy to that I am not, but he does not teach you cannot use the name Jesus. And so, had it not included Jim's name, I would have considered your sermon an accurate portrayal of some fringe groups that you most likely are accurately portraying as quacks and cults. Unfortunately, Jim has wonderfully sound teaching. That I disagree with. I absolutely wholeheartedly disagree with that. And I'm going to lay out a case. Part of it is today. But there is going to be a follow-up to the Sacred Name or Witchcraft video, and it's going to be dealing with the whole Hebrew Roots scam. Is what it is. The Hebrew Roots at its core undermines the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it whatsoever. Jim has wonderfully sound teaching that completely lines up with the word of G/D. G/D. There's no O in here. And none of his sermons have ever included the things you are ranting about. At least the 20-plus sermons I've heard, even their website, see, pasted below my signature, Passion for Truth does not follow any of the things you spoke about in your sermon. Well, what I'm going to do is I actually read his website. I have an article from his website that we're going to deal with today. I appreciate the question. I do. You should question us. You should question our motives. You should question what we say. You should question what we do. You have a right to. And we have a responsibility, if it's reasonable, to answer these questions. And this is what I'm going to do today. Now, I'm going to lead you into it, is what I'm going to do. Because in doing this research, as part of the Sacred Name ideology, and let me just say this. There are levels or different realms of groups who practice a sacred name type theology or doctrine. There are those who are on the fringe, they're out there in the extreme, but they are gaining ground. And they're gaining ground because of people like Jim Staley and others who are promoting, and I when I say this, I have the documentation, who are promoting the removal of the name Jesus and Lord and God out of the scriptures and replacing it with what they say is God's original name and Jesus' original name. And I make that statement. I'm not apologizing for it, and I'm going to prove it. This is what Staley says, and I'm going to show it to you today. But as part of this research, there are elements of the whole idea behind the sacred name because they say that you must be saying it in Hebrew, in what they refer to as God's language or the original language and so on. And I'm not going to debate that one. I don't know what God's language is or what the original language was. I would assume it would be Hebrew, but I don't know that. But here's the idea, that as part of this package, that we still are going back to the Zohar and the Kabbalah, because there is a teaching that teaches you that even the letters of Hebrew, of the letters of the Hebrew Aleph Bet, have symbolic meaning themselves. The letters themselves are words in themselves. Now, some of you are going, well, you know, I thought that. I've read that. I thought that. And I want to ask you the question. Where did you read that from? Let me quote a scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. And so if you have a doctrine, an underlying premise that says that Hebrew letters have meanings, then according to the rules that you and I are supposed to follow, we must get that from the scriptures. It can't come from anywhere else. Nothing else out there in the world is our teacher. It's only the Bible. We only learn from the Bible. And here's the problem. It's in the Hebrew Roots movement. It's in the Sacred Name movement. It is in the liberal Christianity. It's in the emerging church movement. It is everywhere. We are losing the doctrine in the church of sola scriptura, which means only the Bible. And now we're jumping into these new paradigms. We're having a shift in our paradigms because now we're being told to believe that God reveals himself in other ways and in other places, even manifests, even to the point where maybe there's things out here that God wants us to believe. Now, I want to remind you of something. If you go read Genesis chapter 3, you will find out that the devil is the one who introduced the doctrine of a secret teaching that God had that he did not give through her husband. And I want you to think about this. Eve, a type of the church. Adam, a type of Christ. And so the doctrines that we believe come through Christ, through the Word of God. The devil is the one who introduced to Eve that God had some other teaching out here that wasn't in the Word of God. He said, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." He's telling Eve, oh, God said it. God's got a secret knowledge that he didn't tell Adam. So you're going to get it from me. And we're looking at a scenario right now in almost every realm of Christianity where that is now being accepted. I don't accept it. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I don't base what I say and what I believe upon the Zohar, upon the Book of Enoch, upon anything else other than the Word of God. And so I want you to ask yourself the question, did you or do you believe or have you been told that Hebrew letters have their own symbolic meaning and that you can find out the real meaning behind a word in Hebrew or a name in Hebrew by looking at its secret symbolic meanings of each letter? Did you hear that somewhere? Where did you hear it? Did you get it from the Bible? No, you did not get it from the scriptures. Nowhere. The only place that I am aware of where the Hebrew alphabet is actually listed is in Psalm 119, where you have a division of 8 verses with a Hebrew letter over each one of those. Now, I think it's significant. I can't sit here and tell you why. But when I look at those scriptures, and then I look at this, I've seen this list before of what these letters mean. I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see that matching up here in the scriptures. And so it is an unbiblical doctrine. And again, you have to ask yourself the question, if it didn't, and this is what I've asked, and you'll see it next week, if it didn't come from the Bible, where did it come from? You have to ask that question. You have to be suspicious. It's just like writing me or calling me and asking me, "Pastor Mike, what is your source? Where did you get this from? Did you make this up or do you have a source for this?" Well, that's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, what is your source for telling me and others? And in Staley's case, thousands of others. This guy, now some of you have never heard of him. I have. And he has risen to a very prominent status. His influence reaches around the world. He is a weekly contributor to WorldNet Daily. He writes an article for them once a week. And I just got a message from my daughter that Staley just called for me. Well, I'm busy, okay? And I'm not interested in getting into an argument with Mr. Staley. I'm not interested in that. It's not up for debate. It's not something that we need to settle. It's not something that I'm going to alter or change on. And I'm not backing down. These guys think that they can go out and spread this Hebrew root stuff everywhere they go, and no one is going to stand in their way. No one is going to try to say, hey, maybe we should look at the Bible for this. Maybe we need to examine the scriptures like Bereans to see if these things are so. Well, if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to, because I see the danger of it. I see the absolute danger in sacred name replacement and Hebrew roots. It's dangerous, and I'm going to show you why. Here's a book called Tarot and Kabbalah, a book by Samuel Onwier or something like that, all right? I'm going to pull up my version of here so I can actually read what's going on here. It's called The Most Comprehensive and Authoritative Guide to the Esoteric Sciences Within All Religions. Let me show you a little bit of what is in this book. Now, he talks about the tarot and the Kabbalah. Here is an interesting thing that I know that I've found in previous studies, is that tarot cards and the Kabbalah, they go hand in hand. They're sort of complementary to one each other. Oh, you have nice hair today. Well, that's a nice dress you have. They're complementary to one another in that they deal with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and they show the magical design of them. The tarot card does this as well with its 22 suits. They each follow one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The Kabbalah, in its depiction of the Tree of Life, the Sephiroth, shows you 10 spheres and how they are connected by 22 pathways, and each one of those pathways represent the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And that is the magic that the Jewish Kabbalists, the Hasidic Jews and the Chabad Lubavitchers, that is the magic or the mystical doctrine that they hold, that they got from the Egyptians, the Sumerians, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Babylonians, everybody that God told them not to listen to, that's who they listened to, and they never should have, all right? And so anyway, let me see here. Let me go to the next slide here. Let me pull this up. I worked on this morning. When I came in, I went to work and put this together, and I had most of it together, and the thought occurred to me that I need to save my work, and I did, and 3 minutes later, the power went off, but I had saved my work. Now, let me read to you what this book is all about. The basis of all Judeo-Christian scriptures is the Hebrew letters. Without an end, now this is from those who teach the Kabbalah. This is Gnosticism and mysticism. This is the New Age, all right? Without an in-depth knowledge of the Hebrew letters, the original language of the scriptures, one cannot understand the Western religions or the secrets hidden within them. And so this book, The Alphabet of the Kabbalah, is teaching you that there is a hidden secret meaning inside the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It says, like Sanskrit, Chinese, Tibetan, Greek, and other ancient languages, the Hebrew letters constitute a primary expression of the language and mathematics of spirituality. In scriptures, dreams, and awakened experiences, the symbolism of Kabbalah is delivered. Listen to this now. The symbolism of Kabbalah is delivered through the Hebrew letters. This is the language of the internal worlds. He's meaning the underworld, the pit. Learn to speak the language of the internal words, Kabbalah, by first learning the letters of the language. There is a quote here. The objective of studying the Kabbalah is to be skilled for work in the internal worlds. In Kabbalah, we have to constantly look at the Hebrew letters. This is what they say. Now, here is, let me continue on with this. The study of the Hebrew letters is a long and profound journey. The letters encode the entire root knowledge of creation and the power of God. Be patient and diligent to acquire it. Now, they're actually going to quote from the Zohar. And they're going to say, Bezalel, which is a character from the Bible, the architect of the tabernacle in the desert, knew how to join together the letters by means of which the heavens and earth were created. And so already we're seeing a connection here between magical power, the magic and witchcraft of the of Kabbalism with associated with and attached to the Hebrew letters and the secret meanings of these Hebrew letters. And when I say secret meanings, if you were to ever just look at Hebrew, it's kind of like going outside and looking at the stars. You go outside and look at the stars and you look up there and go, that does not look like a bull. I'm sorry, it does not look like a bull to me. Now, the only one that I get is the Big Dipper. It looks like a Big Dipper. But as far as Arcturus, the bear, and the bull, and Orion, and have you ever looked up for Virgo? Have you ever looked up in the sky and saw a woman that looked like a virgin? No, you didn't. And that's the same way with the Hebrew letters. You look at the Hebrew letters, whether it's the current version of them or the paleo Hebrew letters that some of these use, and you look at them and go, I don't see anything there. I don't know what that means. And the Bible does not tell you what, if anything, these Hebrew letters mean. So if it didn't come from the Bible, it has an alternative source. Now let me show you this. This is an article on the alphabet of Kabbalah. In the Gnostic tradition, we seek to examine the practical utilization of all religious mythological symbols in order for us to harness the very purpose of these symbols and aid us in our development towards the perfection of our human soul. In other words, Gnosis relies upon the study of myth and theory to empower practice. Let me see here. The one who approaches the study of Gnosis, even if they call it something else, the one who seeks to experience religion, to know it from their direct conscious experience, does so because they have lived and known the first noble truth of the great Buddha, that life is suffering. If someone has not yet verified this fact, then real Gnosis, experiential knowledge, will remain a closed door, and so on and so on and so on. If you look down toward the bottom, if you still have attachment to your desires and habitual indulgence and pleasure, then Gnosis will remain a closed door because where pleasure abides, pain must also abide. This is the nature or the nature of nature. This is very functional. And so the article just goes on and on and on, talking about Gnosticism and things like that. Down toward the bottom of this article, here's what you're going to find. They're going to start teaching you the sacred symbolism of the Hebrew letters. And so it says Moses was born and exceeding fair, and they're going to talk about Moses. They're going to quote from Acts chapter 7, verse 20. And so the article says Moses represents that soul who has reached nirvana, the promised land, and became a full human being. His name properly is Moshe, which is spelled Mem, Shin, He. And those letters encode the meaning of his name. It means born of water and spirit. And so I want you to take a look at this. They're saying that the Mem represents water, the Shin represents fire, and the He represents a womb. Now, I don't just look at that and automatically think that. I have to have a guide to tell me that. Since the guide is not in the Bible, where does the guide come from? It comes from the Kabbalah. And so they give this, and I want you to get where I'm going with this right here. This is very important because they're giving you this mystical explanation of these Hebrew letters. And then they're telling you that this will actually help you understand Scripture. Because at the bottom there, underneath these Hebrew letters, if you have studied Christianity, you know what Jesus told Nicodemus. Verily I say unto thee, except to be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of Theos or God. And so this article basically explains to you how this works. You take the Hebrew letters, you look at their symbolism, you spell out a sentence, and then that will help you understand what's in the Bible. Now, this is not coming from the Bible scholars, and it's not coming from the pastors. This right here that I'm teaching you is coming from those who study, practice, and promote the Kabbalah. They're telling you how they do it. That's what they're telling you. And so you can go online. You can see these various meanings for these letters. You just click on one here, Ancient Jewish Mysticism and Thought. The 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet are the building blocks of creation. This section of our website contains excerpts from Harav Ginsberg's classic book, The Hebrew Letters, Channels of Creative Consciousness. Follow these links and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm going to pull up a graphic here. Let's see if I can, I don't have it. I have it up on my screen, and it basically, they're telling you what these Hebrew letters mean. For instance, according to the Kabbalah, the Hebrew letter Aleph means an ox or a bull. The Hebrew letter Bet means a tent or a house. Gimel means a camel. Daleth means a door. Hey represents a window or a fence. Vav, a nail. Zion, a weapon. And on and on and on and on and on. This is the accepted Kabbalistic meaning of these particular letters. Here is another website. I just kind of scanned some websites on the Zohar and the Kabbalah. And all of them have primarily the same idea. Notice in this particular website here, they actually link the Kabbalah with the tarot. Those are tarot cards up there. And the tarot cards, basically, you know how tarot people will, they'll say, oh, this is going to be the meaning of your life. It's in the cards. And they lay down cards, and that's supposedly the plan of your life. Well, here's the little thing about the tarot, and Manly Hall talks about this and so on. The tarot is actually the secret doctrine in these cards. It's all about the process. Now, get this now. The tarot is all about the process whereby a mortal man becomes a god. Well, that's what was promised in Genesis 3. That's what the Kabbalah is all about. It's all about transforming the mortal man from his low estate up to the estate of a god. That's the big deception that lies and underlies the teaching of the Kabbalah. By the way, this website, let me pull this back up here. They have the exact same meanings. There's a consistency here. Aleph means ox, Beth means house or enclosure, Gimel means camel, and so on. And again, I look at these things and I'm just going, doesn't look like a camel. It just doesn't look like, I know what a camel looks like. It doesn't look like a camel. I would never look at that and say, I believe God says that's a camel. And I know for a fact that he never said it in his word. It doesn't exist there. It comes from the Kabbalah. Here's another one, a book on mystical Kabbalistic magic, the energy of Hebrew letters. And all of these references are teaching you the exact same thing, that Hebrew letters have symbolism to them, and they have their own little secret identity and a secret idea and a secret doctrine that you would never know just by reading the Bible. You would never know this reading the English Bible. So it's a secret doctrine. Here is an article from Wikipedia.com concerning, and pull this up here, what's called the linguistic mysticism of Hebrew. Kabbalistic thought extended biblical and midrashic notions that God enacted creation through the Hebrew language and through the Torah into a full linguistic mysticism. And this, every Hebrew letter, word, number, even accent on words of the Hebrew Bible contain esoteric, which means secret, meanings, describing the spiritual dimensions within exoteric ideas. Let me explain what this is saying. And I've used this quote before. In studying, let me pull out Kathy Burns' book here. Okay, this is a good book to get on symbols. And she uses these quotes in here. She'll actually tell you, here's what Albert Pike said. Symbols have an exoteric and an esoteric meaning. The exoteric is what you would plainly read on the outside. But those who are trained well enough can know the real deep secret meanings that nobody else knows. Let me tell you something. There's a reason why God wrote Mystery Babylon on the whore's forehead, is that she is the goddess of all mystery doctrines and mystery ideas. Now, you have to decide whether you believe that you can understand everything and read plainly everything about God from the words of your English Bible, or do you have a mindset You have been told by somebody else that you can't understand the full God by reading the English Bible. You have to go into with a Hebrew mindset and study these letters and study these words and know what they are according to what the Jews said they meant and the Jews said that they referenced. By the way, I did a Pastor Mike online here a while back called Why I Am Not a Jew. It's now being posted all over the place that I am an anti-Semite. Anybody who knows this ministry and knows what I believe and what I teach about the nation of Israel, you know that's not true. But they're just taking a little portion of this. Most people haven't even watched it. They said, well, I'm not watching that. Because someone posted it and said, here's my lunacy, I'm anti-Semitic, which is not true. But I'm telling you something about the Jews that the Bible says about them. They rejected the Messiah. They are half blind. I'm going to show you scriptures here in a little bit. And the fallacy of thinking and someone teaching, like Staley, that we have to go and understand the way the Jews understood it is wrong. It is wrong. It's not just wrong according to me. It is unbiblical and wrong. It is unscriptural and wrong to do that. Let me continue on here. Let's see here. Oh, here's part of the Zohar. Let me pull this up here. This again from Wikipedia. There is a Zohar Kaddish and the Torah on many parashas across the Chumash. This stuff doesn't even make sense to me because I don't know Hebrew. Within the paragraphs of the Zohar Kaddish are inserted something called the Sitre Otiyot, which means secrets of the letters. And so I want you to understand this, where I'm going with this, that the Kabbalah and the underlying documents of the Kabbalah, the Zohar, which if you just read them, you'd never understand them. They're weird. The underlying documents of the Kabbalah, the Zohar, plainly teach that there is a mystical thing with the secret meanings of the Hebrew letters. And there is actually a part of the Zohar, let me read it again, a part of the Zohar called the Secrets of the Letters. Now, again, we are not told in the Bible that Hebrew letters have a secret meaning. We're not told that. In fact, Paul says the exact opposite. He said we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. There is no secret doctrine to be discovered outside of the scriptures. It doesn't exist. Not from God, it doesn't. From the devil, it does, but not from God. And remember, this setup goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, for God doth know. First of all, he starts off to Eve by saying, yea, hath God said. And so the first function of anybody who wants to introduce a false doctrine to you is that they must get you in your mind to not believe the word of life that you have handled in your hand, the Bible. It's the first thing they got to do. And so when you watch Jim Staley and you watch his videos, you watch his teachings, you will understand that he plainly says that you cannot understand what God said, what God really said, by reading the King James Bible or the English translated Bibles. You can't understand it. You have to go into the Hebrew roots. And he knows this because, well, I'll get into that in a little bit. Here is Jim Saley's website. This is today. This is from today. You can go there right now and look at it. It is Passion for Truth Ministries. And his new dynamic teaching series that will revolutionize your spiritual journey. Discover the depth of the Hebrew alphabet. That's on his website right now. All right? So, and I'm going to read you some more. But already I'm looking at this, and he is teaching that there is a depth of understanding that's in the Hebrew alphabet and Hebrew words that as you just read the plain text of the scriptures, your King James Bible, you will never understand it. You'll never get this. You would have never known this had the expert, Staley, not told you that this was there. You would have never gotten it. Because we live in America. We don't sit, there's no Hebrew road signs. We don't watch TV shows in Hebrew, and we don't listen to music in Hebrew. So we don't know the language. We don't even know the letters. So these guys have to tell us what they mean and what they are. And again, when they tell us what these letters mean, where did they get that meaning? And they did not get it from the Bible. And so as far as I'm concerned, the teaching itself is extra biblical, unbiblical. It's not right. And so that's on his website. Now, Jim Staley is all about Torah, keeping the Torah. You must believe the Torah. You must keep the Torah. Here is from his video, Jim Staley, Passion for Truth, Vision Cast, this on YouTube. We fundamentally believe that the world needs to hear the message of the Torah. Well, if you were going to ask me, do I think the Torah is, do I think, and I don't even see the word Torah here. Do you ask me if the Old Testament's important? Absolutely. I believe exactly what Paul said about it in Romans 7. I consent to the law that it's good. Absolutely. But the overall message of Staley and his ministry is that God has told him and revealed to him something that the church has been doing wrong now for 2,000 years. And when you watch his stuff, that's what he says, is that we've got it all messed up now for 2,000 years, ever since the first century church, and it all went downhill from there, and God has called him to restore this now, to restore the believer in Yeshua Messiah, which is what he says, the believer in Yeshua Messiah, that we must, if we're going to please God, that we must return and keep the Torah as much as possible. We must do what the Torah says in order to please God. Now, here is my biblical problem with that. I'm not a Jew. Now, there is a teaching that Staley is one of his foundational teachings that I have not had time to digest. And so I don't understand where it's all coming from. But, and I didn't know if I can speak on it, but he's got some sort of different idea of who Gentile Christians are other than you and me. And again, I can't speak on it because I haven't seen enough of it. I'm going to spend some time watching what he says, and I will compare it with what I read in the scriptures, and if it doesn't match up, I'm going to say something because nobody else is going to, so I'm going to say something. But here's my point. Number one, Jim Staley says that in order for me to fully understand who Yeshua is, who Yahweh is, in order for me to fully understand his coming, his second coming, what he said, what he meant, what he did, and everything, then I have to go back to the Hebrew roots of what he said. In other words, go back and examine the lifestyles, mannerisms, idioms, language of the Jews, and if I don't do that, I will not understand who the real Yeshua or the real Jesus is. Now, here's a point in Scripture that I'm going to bring up. The Bible says, Galatians 2:14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And here's something you need to understand. Peter, the apostle to the Jews. Do you know what Paul just said? Peter was living in the manner of the Gentiles. That's what it says. Go read it. That's what it says. And here's another thing. I believe in the plain reading of the scriptures. And a lot of what I've seen from a lot of these Hebrew Roots ministries is that they will take passages of Scripture that actually deny what their doctrine is, and they'll spend 30, 45 minutes turning it around so that now it no longer says that. And you go, oh, so it doesn't really say that. No, of course not. It doesn't say that. That's what they do. That's their modus operandi. And so if I'm just reading the Scriptures, and I see that Peter was living the way the Gentiles do, and yet then turned and commanded Paul to live, or any of the New Testament believers, to live as the Gentiles do, that was wrong. I've seen Staley's and others' teachings on Acts 15, 119 Ministries and others. Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council. The Jerusalem Council clearly, when you just read it, it clearly denotes that the Gentiles are not required to live as the Jews under the law. They were given four things, but as far as the rest of the, the Jewish apostles got together and they said, guys, let's be honest. Why are we going to put a burden on the Gentiles that we ourselves have never kept? We never kept the law. 2,000 years since Abraham, we have never kept the law. Never have. So why are we going to compel the Gentiles to do what we ourselves have not done? That's what you read. You'll read Acts 15 without Staley and others skewing it for you. Go read it in the King James Bible. You'll get it. You'll understand. You'll go, oh, well, there it is right there. And you don't need anything else. But if you look in Romans, and if you look in Galatians, and you look in Hebrews, you see that the law was weak and beggarly, that it could not save, that there was no mercy in it. You cannot be justified by the works of the law. You cannot have anything as far as the goodness of God by the works of the law, because you don't keep the law. Here's a point that Staley loves to make on his website, and this is actually in his doctrinal statement. We believe that we keep the Torah as much as possible. Here's the problem. God has a 100% keeping idea. In other words, you can't, if you keep part of the law, you're not keeping the law. That's what God said. If you keep part of the law, if you decide that you're going to have Passover and you don't have a lamb, you're not keeping the law. If you're a male and you decide you're going to keep Feast of Tabernacles and you don't go to Jerusalem, you're not keeping the law. You're just pretending. You're trying to tell everybody that you're keeping the law, but the truth is you're not keeping the law. And I've got some other scriptures to talk about the Jews here in a little bit. Here is Staley's account from his website. This is his words of how he got this revelation that we are supposed to go back and keep the Torah and understand only the way the Hebrews did. This is from his website. For years, Jim was an evangelical Christian apologist in his area. In other words, he used to be like me. Jim was an evangelical Christian apologist in his area, teaching Christians defense of the Bible, evangelism techniques, and Bible study classes. Now I want you to look at it. He then had a supernatural experience and introduction to understanding the Bible through the Hebraic original author's mindset. Now, I'm gonna take issue with this one right here, because here's what you see in a lot of this stuff. They tell you Matthew was a Hebrew, Isaiah was a Hebrew, David was a Hebrew, Paul was a Hebrew. And so the only way to really understand the Bible is through a Hebraic Eastern mindset. Here's my problem. None of the words that Paul used were Paul's. None of them. Not one. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, not the Hebrews. Jeremiah, where did Jeremiah get his word? Was he a Hebrew? Yes. Where did he get his words? God said, I will put my words in your mouth. And so right there, Staley and I are a billion miles apart. He says that they are Paul's words and they're Hebrew words. And from a Hebrew mind, the Bible says they weren't Paul's words. They weren't Jeremiah's words. They were not Moses' words. They were not John's words. They were God's. And he does not require us to be Hebrews or act like Hebrews, smell like Hebrews, talk like Hebrews, or live as do the Jews in order to understand what he said. He actually gives us something better than Jim Staley and Mike Hoggard. He gives us a Holy Spirit. Now, here is the supernatural experience that Jim Staley said he had that led him into the Hebrew roots. His own words.
As I was, my head was back and I was kind of meditating, my wife elbowed me and she said, Jim, what are you doing? Stop humming. And I said, I'm not humming. What are you talking about? I'm just praying. She said, you're humming. And so we kind of laughed a little bit. I didn't think anything about it. But in that vision, I saw this, something very similar. I saw a foundation like in rubble, like ancient foundation and beautifully manicured grass, very short manicured grass. And that's all I saw in that vision because my wife elbowed me. And then I went to bed that evening and the vision, the dream immediately started from what happened earlier. And in that dream was this exact same picture of an ancient foundation. All of a sudden, Yeshua came into the picture, and then I came into the picture, and the camera angle is from behind.
Listen.
As we are walking, and he is silently telling me, explaining to me all of the foundation and the problem with the foundation. He was showing me the door, and this is where the window was.
And stop right here. Number one, he's saying he's having a dream and a vision, and his wife is hearing him hum. Then he says that Yeshua came and appeared to him and was showing him this temple foundation, that picture that he showed. And you're going to hear, he's already alluded to it already, you're going to hear him say that this Yeshua character was giving him all of this information and not saying anything. Listen to it.
Gate, and he walked all the way around the footing of this foundation. And I began to understand what he was telling me. Even though in the dream there was no words whatsoever, there was full communication integrated into this dream. And by the time I got all the way around this foundation, I had realized, even though I knew nothing about it at the time, I realized that what he was showing me was the foundation of his house, his temple, and why it was in ruins that it was in. Well, I woke up to my wife looking at me. Now,
Stop right here. He says that Yeshua, I'm going to type in a word here, and I'm going to find this verse. He says that Yeshua told him that the foundation of his church, of his tabernacle, was in ruins. Let me read you a verse. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Let's see here. Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And yet Staley said it's in ruins. 2 Timothy 2:19, here's the verse I was looking for. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Staley says that this Yeshua told him that the foundation of the Lord's house was all ruined and in disrepair. And yet the Bible says the foundation stands sure. Who's telling the truth here? Who are you going to believe? Here's more of what he said.
You have to understand, I have five children, five girls, and at the time I think we had three. My wife was always up with the baby way before I was, and I never wake up to my wife right there, very rarely, because she's always tending to the sheep, if you will. And so it was kind of a shock, and she was a bit shocked, and she said, Jim, what happened last night? I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I never sleep on my side. You know, I sleep on my stomach, but I woke up on my right side, which is impossible for me to sleep on my right side, and there was a man standing over the top of you in the middle of the night. And she said, it scared me so bad that I prayed that it would go away. I opened my eyes later, and it was gone. And she said that she hardly got any sleep the rest of the night, but she was 100% sure that they're in love. Right at that moment, I connected the two. This was not a dream. This was a vision. This is what happened in the New Testament. It happened to many men throughout time where an angel was bringing a message. And so, but I still didn't have a clue what that meant until that afternoon I went back. I plopped down on the couch, opened up my Bible, read Romans chapter 3, and
listen.
I understood what it meant. It was as if he had put a chip in my brain to understand Paul, because there wasn't enough time for me to go to college. There wasn't enough time for me to learn Hebrew. There wasn't enough time for me to dig into all the cultural nuances of a rabbi, Rabbi Shaul, studying under Gamaliel and knowing the entire Torah. He began to download to me understanding. And I began to read through the book of Romans, and it was as if I was there in the Church of Rome, and I began to understand what he meant, and light bulbs began to go on. And that's when I began to teach. For 6 months, I taught verse by verse on the book of Romans, and that was the foundation, beginning of understanding of this thing called we call the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, and how the Torah fits into it. Because we're not under a curse. We're not under, it says we're not under the law. We're under grace. We're not under the curse of the law. And that's the foundation behind the book of Romans. And so I just want to share that with you, because we're going to come back to foundation in just a moment.
So his teaching here, number one, is that Jesus taught him this without saying anything. I got verses here on that one. But the idea was, is that the foundation of his ministry was a supernatural, extra-biblical revelation. Didn't come from the Bible. In fact, it's against the Bible. Didn't come from the Bible. It came from this being that he called Yeshua. And his wife saw this thing standing, you know, all over him while he was asleep. I am not required to follow that. And if that's the basis of his teaching, you have to ask yourself the question, where did he get his concepts from? He did not, by his own admission, get them from the Bible. Now, he describes in here a Yeshua that doesn't speak. A Yeshua that does not speak. Here's what the Bible says. A Psalm of David. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Or Psalm 50, verse 3. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Here is what God said concerning those who dream dreams, and they're not from the Lord. I have listened to, look at what the Bible says. I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Jeremiah 23:32, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Now, I'm going to show you something here. That verse previously specifically said that I am against the dreamers, the prophets, who dream dreams and prophesy lies and try to get people away from my name. That's the basis of most of what's in the Hebrew roots and the sacred name idea. That's what it is. Now, here is the article in question. Staley says, and again, I don't have the recording, so maybe I misunderstood him. The email that I read, a guy's defending Staley, saying he's never said anything about that. That's not true. There is an article on Jim Staley's website. You can find it. You can do it. He's got a little search bar there. And the article is entitled, What really is the name of God? What really is the name of God? And so I'm going to show you some things from this article. Let me get me back up here. I've got it printed out here. I went over it, and I've highlighted some things here. And I'm just going to read random bits from his article. I'm just asking you: do you believe what he said or not? When I read this to you, do you believe him, or do you believe the Word of God? Because they're not saying the same thing. What really is the name of God? Again, I'm not going to read all of it, but I have highlighted some things. He says, virtually all animals that are domesticated are separated from one another by none other than a proper name. But for some strange reason, we call the most supreme being in the universe by the most common generic name that we could possibly come up with, God. And so Staley's opinion, according to this, is that that's not him. Even though it says, the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let me read this again. He said, we call the most supreme being in the universe by the most common generic name that we could possibly come up with, God. It is like saying, come here, dog. That's what he said. That's what Jim Staley said. Come here, dog. When you say God, it's like calling God a dog. Then he says, why do those of us that know God personally refer to him so generically and not by his proper name that he told us to call him by? That's part of the sacred name doctrine. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, he says he doesn't believe it. I'm reading his article. So far, he's on track. Here's what else he says. He says, it is possible that more than 50% of professing Christians, I believe the number is probably much higher, do not know the name of God, of the God that they serve. Did you catch that? So what he's telling you, and this is what he says, most Christians don't know the name of the God they serve. And why? Because they only read the Bible in English. In order to know the real name of God, you must get it from the Hebrew letters. I'll show you that he says that. All right. Let's see here. He said, just as a mere human would prefer to be called by his real name, how much more does the creator of the universe want and desire us to call on his real name? There's no scripture here, but anyway, let's move on. He says, we will discover the actual name of God shortly. And then he says, so in order to properly discover the power of the name of God, everything that we've learned about the sacred name movement is that they believe that there is a power in the name of God. So he says, so in order to properly discover the power of the name of God, we will first begin our journey through this subject by exploring a bit of the Hebrew language and the meanings behind the letters themselves. I actually have that as a graphic here. Okay? Let me pull this up here. The Hebrew, this is from his article on his website. The Hebrew language is an ancient language that first started in pictograph form, meaning that originally the words were pictures that eventually evolved into letters. This is what he says. But as time went on, the letters still retained many of their original meanings. Whereas the letters of the English alphabet have no meaning until combined with other letters to make a word, the Hebrew letters have meanings individually as well as when they are combined to form a word. So not only do you have the obvious meaning of the word, listen to this now. This is from his website. not only do you have the obvious meaning of the word, but you also have the hidden meaning as you combine the individual meanings of each letter. That's exactly what they say in the Zohar. That's what they say in the Kabbalah. That's what they say in all. Freemasonry says the same thing. Freemasonry teaches you that there is a mystical meaning behind, a magical meaning behind the Yod Heh Vav Heh. And it should be discovered, but you have to go a certain path to discover it because it's not revealed in the scriptures. You have to go somewhere else and get it. That's what the devil conned Eve into believing, and she fell for it. His own words. I'm going to read it again. You also have the hidden meaning as you combine the individual meanings of each letter. Now, I'm going to show you, I'm going to read to you from his article what this teaches you. Your jaw is going to drop. He took the name Adam. He says the name Adam is spelled with the letters Aleph, Dalet, and Mem. And there are no vowels in the Hebrew language. Now, here's what he says. In fact, let me do this. Let me show you this right here. Okay? He says the letter Aleph means breath, first, leader, or divine. If you go to the Kabbalah websites, that's exactly what the Kabbalists say it means. The Bible doesn't say the Aleph means that, but the Kabbalah does. And so he says the letter Aleph means breath, first, leader, or divine. Your jaw is going to drop. Dalet means to enter door. Mem means water, many. I'm going to show it to you so you don't think I'm lying to you. You find the article, you read it for yourself. See that underlined sentence there. Adam's name secretly means the first one with divine blood. That's what he said. Now, I've read the Bible. I've read all of this. I never read in the scriptures that Adam had divine blood. Never, 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 never. It's not there. In fact, this doctrine, I know where this comes from. This comes from the mystery schools teaching us it's Gnosticism, teaching us that we have a divine spark in us that was in Adam and it's been lost and it needs to be resurrected. It needs to be restored. Because it's that spark, just get this now, that spark is the sacred name that's in us. Adam's divine blood. Let me read scriptures, okay? Let's see here, where are my scriptures here? Okay, here we go, right here, this is a good one. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Now, Staley says that the secret meaning, that you would have never figured that out, of Adam means the one with divine blood, or the first one with divine blood. And yet Adam died. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying that Adam, with divine blood in him, sinned. Who is the figure of him that was to come? 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Adam, according to Staley, has divine blood. You know what that means? It means that since we're all from Adam, that all of us have inherited that divine blood. That's Gnosticism. Go watch Bruce Almighty. Go watch Bruce Almighty. That's what God explains to Bruce, is that everybody's got a divine spark in them and they just need to learn how to be gods. That's why God was doing that with Bruce Almighty. He was teaching him how to be a god, how to handle the responsibility. This is Gnosticism. This is heresy. This is unbiblical. He didn't get it from the Bible. He got it. He's got a secret way now to get secret messages from God through the magical Hebrew letters. Let me read some more. Staley says in his article, names carry reputation, power, and authority. And he says, this is why we have power to tread on scorpions and to bind and loose, because of the name. Now, listen to this one. This is the paragraph where he's talking about what he calls the generic names. And I deal with, in next week's Watchmen, I prove to you from the King James Bible that Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh means Lord. Prove it. Here's what he said. The word Elohim means plural, majestic, magistrate, judge. Kings were also called Elohim along with anyone in great authority. Now listen to what he said. You don't get anything out of the words Lord and God. You don't get anything out of that. If there were one thing I could change among Bible translations, it would be this. Leave the names of God in the original language so we can know what the words mean. And by that, he's saying that you break down the individual magical, mystical teachings of the Hebrew letters themselves. Because his doctrine and the doctrine of the Kabbalist and all these other practitioners of witchcraft are telling you that each Hebrew letter has a magical, mystical, secret meaning behind it that's not in the Bible. And if you want to know the real secret, then you've got to know what that list is. You got to know what that is. And when you know what that is, then you'll uncover a hidden truth about God that no one knows. So he called here and said I was wrong. He says, if there were one thing I would change among Bible translators, it would be this. Leave the names of the God in the original language so we can know what the words mean. God forbid, and he's being sarcastic here, God forbid that we would have to learn the name of God. Christianity seems to be the only religion in the world that does not call their God by their God's proper name. Even Islam calls their God Allah. That's what he said. He says, later on, he says, now that we have laid the foundation for the name of God and have rediscovered the true name of God, which is, according to him, Yahweh, which is not in your Bible. It's not there. And some of you listening say, well, the Bible's wrong. The English, it's a version. It's an English translation. You don't believe the Bible. You don't believe Bible doctrines. You've been so far removed from what this Bible is, what this English translated Bible is. You've been so far removed from that by the scholars and the bloggers and the Facebook people and YouTube people and everything else. You've been so far removed from that, from pastors all over this country. You don't know what you've got in your hand. You have the absolutely perfectly incorruptible, preserved Word of God, incorruptible, including the name of God. God preserved it. God didn't lose it. The pagan King James translators didn't take it out. God preserved it. God preserved every word, and then he translated, because one of the gifts of the Spirit is the interpretation of tongues that we don't know. Three of them, actually, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Christianity seems to be the only religion in the world that does not call their God by their God's proper name. Let's see here. Now that we've laid the foundation for the name of God and have rediscovered the true name of God, let's move on to the point of this study in the name of Jesus. If you're in Christian circles, you see and hear this everywhere, but few stop to find out what it actually means. And then he starts talking about how we got the letter J and this and that from. So he said, now listen to this. Where did we get the word Jesus from? Now, what you can do is read this article and then compare it with his statement of faith, because I think he's hiding something. Because his statement of faith does it, it kind of makes it sound like, well, you know, Jesus is okay. This is what he says here. Where did we get the word Jesus from? It is a horrible attempt to translate Yeshua into the Greek Jesus. Staley says that the name Jesus is horrible. That's sad. That's bad sad. The name Yeshua, anyway, he goes on to talk about that. Let me read that again. It is a horrible attempt, the name Jesus is a horrible attempt to translate Yeshua into the Greek Jesus. So now here's what he does. And so far, sacred name people, number one, believe that the name Jesus is bad. Staley okay, out of fairness, he didn't say it was bad. He said it was horrible. The sacred name people say that. Sacred name people say that the real name of the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh was taken out of the Bible by the translators. Staley says the real name was taken out by the translators. That's wrong. The sacred name people say that they should restore the sacred name or the real name, God's original intended name, Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, that they should restore that to the scriptures. I lost the paper. That's exactly what he did. See that? Exodus 6:3. See the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh? You know what he did? He took the word Lord out and restored the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh in there. And he did that, I don't know, looks about five or six, seven times in here. Eight times maybe. He said, so we shall know that his name is Yahweh. I got something else for you. I pray that someday that will be true and God's people will awaken to see that this great and mighty creator that we serve has a great and mighty name. Listen to this. This is what Jim Staley said. And at that name, every knee will bow to the name of Yahweh. You don't believe me? That's what he said. Every knee will bow to the name of Yahweh. That's what he said. He's talking about Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and so on. And so he says, Yahweh is the one talking. Let me back up here. He says concerning Philippians 2:10 that Yahweh is the one talking, and he says that everyone will be bowing to his name, which we know is Yahweh. So when my Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, Staley says that we now know that that's not who they're going to be bowing to. We now know that everybody's going to be bowing not to the name Jesus, but to Yahweh. That's what he said. He said Yahweh is the one talking, and he says that everyone will be bowing to his name, which we now know is Yahweh. And then he says something that's interesting. He said, It is at this point that a critic of the Bible has a heyday because of the apparent contradiction. And giving them our typical answer of Jesus is God, so it's the same thing, is not a thorough answer. And it requires no critical thinking and is not doing the scriptures justice. And then he goes on to explain that. And then he changes Isaiah 9:6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Elohim, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because remember, Staley said earlier that the word God and Lord meant nothing, and that they shouldn't be used. Now watch this. In fact, I want you to do this. I want you to take your can of King James Bible, and I want you to turn to John 17, verse 11. Are you with me? John 17, 11. And I have decided, let me do this very quickly while we're in an interim. I'm going to cut my music off. I'm going to go until I'm done, all right? Is that all right? And I'm wrapping it up, but John 17, 11. I want you to look at this, okay? John 17, 11. Now, Staley is laying out a point that everybody's going to be bowing to the name of Yahweh, even though it doesn't say that. But he's making a case for it. In John 17, 11, this is Jesus praying to the Holy Father. No, it wasn't the Pope. It was his Father. And in verse 11, here's what Jesus said in the King James Bible. And now I am, let's see, make sure I got the right, okay. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now I want you to look at that again. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. That's what the King James says. Here's what Staley says it should say. John 17, 11. And now, Holy Father, keep them by the power of your name, the same name you gave me, so that they may be one even as we are one. That's not what it says. But he alters the scriptures to validate his point. Let me go here. Look at this. I do not want to offend or burst anyone's bubble here. But there, listen to this. I do not want to offend or burst anyone's bubble here. But there is no power in just the name of Jesus by itself. That's what he said. That wasn't even his name to begin with. Remember, Staley said it was a horrible translation or transliteration. Horrible. So he says there is no power in just the name Jesus by itself. That wasn't even his name. I've heard some people that will chant the name Jesus in their prayers and songs as if the name has some mystical meaning or power to it. It does not. Let's see here. Too often, too many Christians get caught up in the name Jesus and forget that his divine name, Yahweh, is what brings salvation, as Scripture so clearly states in scores of places. In the same way, when we call on, quote, the name of Jesus, we are actually calling on the name of Yahweh through what Yahshua did for us at the cross. That is not, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read what he said. I'm going to read what he said. There is no power in just the name of Jesus by itself. That's not what the Bible said. Where's my verses here? Where's my verses? I can't find it now. Oh, here we go. Acts chapter 4. Look at this. Here's where we get down to the nitty-gritty of it. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible says, be it known unto you all, and to this is Peter and John. They were arrested by who? Who were they arrested by? The Jews. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. See, he's even referencing the crucifixion and what was written over the head of Christ. In what languages? Hebrew and Greek and Latin. In Hebrew, Yahshua. In Greek, Jesus, which Staley says, that's terrible. They shouldn't have put that up there. And in Latin, Jesu. And he's referencing the name of Jesus whom ye crucified. He knew that they knew what was written on that cross. that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone. Look at this. Look at the doctrine now. Now you understand Jim Staley for who he really is. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Remember the vision that Yeshua told him. Remember the vision that Yeshua told him? Or didn't tell him. He just put it in his brain, downloaded it. The vision was of the foundation, and it was all messed up. And so obviously God wants Jim and all the Hebrew Roots movement to rebuild that foundation. Look at the scriptures. Where did it go again? There it is. Look at the scriptures. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. That means in their tongue, whereby we must be saved. Staley and all the Hebrew Roots people, they're rebuilding the church. Guess what they're leaving out? The stone. Because the builders and the Hebrew Roots in that sense is no different than Freemasonry. Because in Freemasonry, isn't it funny that in Freemasonry they call God every name in the book except Jesus? In Freemasonry, they don't say the name Jesus. Isn't it funny to you that in most contemporary Christian music, you won't hear the name Jesus? Isn't it funny now that you see all these people running around, you see their posts on Facebook, you read their stuff on the internet, you hear them make YouTube videos, and they never say the name Jesus? It's always Yeshua or Yahushua or something like that. They never say it. And now Staley is part of this group that says, we're going to rebuild the foundation because Yeshua told me it was all messed up, even though God said that it stands sure and won't be. But we're not going to use the stone that says Jesus. We set that aside. We're not going to use that one. So here's the rest of the story in the book of Acts. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them that not to speak at all, nor teach the name of what? Jesus. The Jews told them that. The Jews don't like the Gentile Greek Latin name Jesus. They don't like it. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Let me finish up this article here. Because it became apparent to me that Staley, as do others. Let me say this. Here's what I think. There are these fringe groups out here that are sacred name only. If you say anything else, you're going to burn. Now, we have already seen from Jim Staley's own words that he thinks the name Jesus is horrible. He thinks that the word God and Lord mean absolutely nothing. Even though the thief on the cross, that's what he said. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Staley says they mean nothing. And if it was up to him, he would take all the names of Lord, God, and Jesus out of the Bible and restore the true real name of Yahweh and Yeshua. That's what he said. That is sacred name doctrine. But he doesn't like the stigma of sacred name because there are people out there running around giving it a bad name. There are people out there running around with King James Bibles that are acting stupid. Some people think that's me. So he doesn't like, and he's got a name out there now because he's on WorldNet Daily. He's writing an article for them. WorldNet Daily, I don't know, when they first came out, man, I was liking what they had to say. WorldNet Daily has turned over to the whole Seventh-day Hebrew Roots movement. And I don't trust WorldNet Daily anymore. I don't trust them. Because I want you to listen to me now. At the core of Seventh-day Adventism and Hebrew Roots, along with the Joel's Army crowd, is dominion. Okay? Staley's got a name out there. I mean, he's got stuff all over the place. I've said his name in last week's Watchman and next week's Watchman. And people came unglued. And they're watching this, and they're just livid. And my name is going to be smeared all over the internet. And I had to decide, when I made the Sacred Name Witchcraft video, both of them, and I had to decide when I walked in here today, was I going to worry about my reputation? Was I going to be afraid to come out against these guys for what they're saying and what they're doing and the heresies that they're promoting? And by the way, Hebrew Roots is a heresy. It is leading, and I don't care. It is leading people into a misguided idea that they must go back and keep the law. And it's heresy. And I had to decide when I walked in here this morning, was I going to be worried about getting along with these people at the next conference? The fact that people are going to smear my name all over the internet, and now some people won't watch my videos. I had to decide if I wanted to be popular or right. And I have a conscience. And my conscience is based upon what this book says. My King James Bible says. And there are a lot of people that cannot handle that. So the people who smear me, they also smear the Bible. Bad. So here's what Staley says. You're going to hear him speak over here, and then you're going to hear him speak over here. So Staley says this. The point of this article is not so that you will legalistically be bound now to say the real name of God, but to bring to light something that needs to be mentioned more often. There needs to be more respect given to the real names of God, in quotation marks, and his son, and we should use them more than we do. So here's what he's saying.
You don't have to say it, but we should say it more.
And then he says, and you never know. If all believers starting calling God by his real name, that would only leave the pagans to calling him God. Did you catch that? Because he threw it, and I caught it. You know what he's saying? He's saying the line's going to be drawn. And all of us that are saying Yahweh and Yeshua, well, then we'll know who we're talking about. And when you walk up, say, Jesus and God and Lord, we'll know whose side you're on. And those of you who have encountered the Yeshua people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you dare ever question why they're using that word, or when you try to say, well, it just says in the King James Bible that his name is Jesus, those people go, and this is why Staley's calling me. He wants a debate. I'm not giving him one. He wants an audience. I'm not giving him one. I said what I said. I meant what I said. I read exactly what he said. And I'm not backing down. Not for a second. A debate is unnecessary. So you listening, you can either listen to this or you can listen to him. That's your choice. He says, and maybe that is exactly how it should be. It is my prayer that through this study that you will also grow deeper in your relationship with the Almighty by recognizing his name and the true name of his son. So I want you to, when he says the true name of his son, the implication is that Jesus is a false name. And he admits that in this article. The name Jesus is a false name. He admits it. He says it's horrible, and he says it has no power, and he says that in direct contradiction to the written word of God in English. The point is for all of us to open our hearts and minds to exalting his true name. That's their doctrine. It's what they believe. I'm going to read a couple emails. I don't know. Vasily makes a good point. The stone which the builders refused to become the head of the corner. I mentioned that a while ago. Justin says, I feel sorry for Staley, but feel even worse for the poor people who are following his doctrine of devils. Thanks for calling out these guys, Pastor. I give God the glory. We've been praying for you and your family, and I appreciate that. Hope Jaden's doing better. He is. Thank you, everybody. I didn't thank everybody for praying for him, but anyway, thank you. Robin says the figure that Staley's wife saw was not the Lord. All those who that encountered a godly visit in the Bible knew it was from God and humbled themselves. They never prayed it go away. Good point. Mark says, just want to offer my support and encouragement. Stand fast for proclaiming this God's word and don't let them beat you down, brother. Thanks for your labor. Dave says, I asked one of those sites if Jesus is God. Never got a reply. Would love to get an answer to this from these people. It's also rumored that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit being the third person of the Trinity. Now, Staley has a doctrine on the Trinity, and I have not found it yet. He says it's too complicated. If you can find it on his website, I'd like to find it. Anyway, Paul says, oh, what a terrible man is that Jim Staley. Sorry for being so rude, but I get angry when I hear this stuff. A misled man who should know better. By the way, Allah is just the Arabic word for God, just like Dieu is French for God and Gott is German for God. You've done a very, very good job. My love you in Christ. Sherry says, prayers for you, standing on the Word of God, KJV, and I'm thankful for men like you in your ministry. Bonnie says, just keep preaching the truth, brother or Pastor Mike. And Mark likes me going, don't say the sacred name, say the sacred name. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's talking, he doesn't want to be associated. It's all about image. He doesn't want to be associated with the sacred name people and the kooks out there. So he's going to mainstream this stuff so that more and more people fall for it. And that's what they're doing. I'm going to just say it honestly. Jim Staley, and remember, wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep. Jim Staley is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's appearing, he's saying the things that would lead you to believe that he said things on the phone, on the message that he left, that tries to make it sound like he even used the name Jesus, and even he's trying to come out like he's cool. But here's what he said. Here's what he said. And so, To the person who wrote me the email, to the person that messaged me on Facebook, and to Mr. Staley himself, I'm not apologizing for anything that I said, and I'm not apologizing for including you in the teaching of the sacred name or witchcraft. And you can mark it down that if God gives me the breath and the energy and the time, before too long, I'm going to deal in depth with your whole Hebrew roots nonsense. And I'm going to expose you for who you are and for what you're trying to do. And if you hate me for it, or if everybody else hates me for it and calls me names and calls me everything else in the world, then so be it. I'm not in your popularity contest. I'm not playing your game. And if nobody else is going to call you on it, then just consider me a burr in your pants. Okay? Because that's what I'm going to be. If you say it and it's not in this Bible, I'm going to come out and unsay it for you. Anyway, we'll see. Was there anything else left out that he said? There's several things that I'd missed out on here. Let me just give you this very quickly. Let me just kind of give you a preview of what's wrong with the mindset that Staley has of we have to go back and look at it how the Jews did. Let me tell you what's wrong with that. Let me tell you what's wrong with that concept. Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, have that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so what Staley and others are telling you is that you got to go back and think and say and understand the way the Jews did in the Old Testament in Hebrew. Well, they were blind. They were partially blind. That means he's telling you, you won't see what you're supposed to see. 2 Corinthians 3:12, seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished. The law, not the curse, the law was abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. And so Staley wants you to go back and understand it the way they did, and they had a veil over it. They couldn't see. Moses comes down. Number one, he's got a speech impediment, so they can't understand what he's saying. Number two, he's got a veil over his face, so they don't know what's back there. And the same veil is there. And Staley wants you to go back and put a veil on to read the Bible with. He's got one, by the way. He got a veil the night that he had that dream. A veil was put over his mind. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. So why should I go back and read what the rabbi said? Romans 11:7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. Staley says, we haven't got it yet. And the rest were blinded. As it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see. He's describing Israel. He's describing the Jews, the Hebrew Jews. They have the spirit of slumber, their eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear. Unto this day, David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense. You know what going back to the law is? It's a snare. It's a trap. It's a setup. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. He's not telling you go back and live the way the Jews do. He's telling you to live the way the Gentiles do. And while God saves you, the Jews are mad at you because you're using the name Jesus. And you're saved by grace through faith and not by the law. And that provokes him to jealousy. And then they always like to quote Paul in Romans by telling you that when you're a Gentile and you get saved, you're grafted into the Hebrew vine. That's not true. The vine, the olive tree, Romans 11, Jesus, John 15, that's not a Hebrew tree. That's not a Hebrew vine. That's Jesus. And what did God do with them? He plucked them out. Why? Because they were blind. Think about it. I love you. I love the truth. I love the truth more than I love you. And so if this rubbed you the wrong way, I can't help it. Somebody's got to say something. So anyway, I love you. I am out of here. Love you. See you. Talk to you later.